Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.org.
But as we're about to pray, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 10. Lord, I pray that every word that is going to be said today, every action that is going to be set forth today, is directed and said by you. Today I pray that you would use me as your vessel to give you honor and glory. And may your word, God, stir up the faith inside of us to no longer sit in the seats that we find comfortability. But Father, we thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, everyone says, amen. Acts chapter 10. I wish I could read the whole book of Acts for you, but we don't have the time, okay? And I probably should have warned y'all or warned Pastor E in the beginning. I have about 35 pages of notes, so we may be here for about 2 hours, okay? He didn't give me an end time. I'm sorry, folks, okay? He just said, get on and just give the word. So I'm going to let you young people know now. That already, they telling me already, you got to be quick, Pastor. You go quick or we'll mute you, all right? They setting me up already, guys. Oh, my Lord. As you can see, I am a Raiders fan, okay? I do have a saying, all right? You're going to hear it, and you'll hear it proud and clear, all right? There is only one nation under the Lord, all right? And that's the Raider Nation, all right? I'm just going to put it out there, all right, for the rest of you. I know your team. So that's already set me up. All the ears have already gone deaf, Pastor E, because they're like, he's got a Raiders jersey on. I mean, it's serious. The Raiders shirt inside, the shirt I have inside here is a Raiders jersey, okay? I'm just saying, I'm a diehard Raider fan. Just because I'm from L.A., all right? As Pastor E had already mentioned, yes, I did grow up in the streets. I was homeless, but that doesn't necessarily say that my family was a wreck. Let me just say that right now. My family wasn't a wreck. They had it together. I did have a mom, and I did have a dad. I had brothers and sisters. We all, matter of fact, let me set the record straight. My daddy was a preacher. So, it's not like I didn't hear the word coming up. I just chose to do the direction which I did in the past. I chose to sell dope. And it wasn't out of my choice anyways. I was forced into it. I had an uncle who was in the mafia. I had an uncle who was in TCG. I'm going to put it out there because I know pastors got this on live stream. And he was in TCG. Those folks, they will call me if I'm lying, all right? And he started up a gang in L.A., and guess what? I was his protege. Taught me the game, taught me the streets. But the Lord saved me August 1st, 2005. See, man, that don't sound like a long time ago, but folks who's ever been in the 90s, they know that's a long time ago because time has changed. Ain't no more pay phones. You know, back in those days, ain't no pager. See, look at these young folks like, a pager? What is that? You didn't have those pages that, you know, you got the number. You go run to a pay phone, drop a dime. Oh, I'm sorry. It's no longer, you don't see pay phones. Well, let me set this up real quick. On the count of three, everybody in here, if you answer a phone, okay? Without picking up your phone, I want to just do it with your hand gestures. How would you pick up a phone? All right, on count of three. Ready? One, two, three. Go ahead. Show. Yep, see, look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Some folks picking up like this because they used to remember having that dial-up on the phone, right? Or some folks are picking up a phone like this like because they ain't never had no dial-up. They have this little flat screen because they're technology. What is that? What is that? I don't know. Anyways, showing my age. Pastor, go on with the word because that's why you're here. I want to talk to you from Acts chapter 10. The author of this book is Luke. And he writes this amazing second letter to Theophilus, a friend of his. And in writing this, he's talking about the Acts of the Apostles. And these were Jesus' disciples, his go-to people. And in all throughout the book of Acts, you start to hear of what they did on behalf of their belief and faith in Jesus. But Acts chapter 10 is a pivotal chapter in Christendom. Because it's at this point where the gospel has been made available for the Gentiles. Now, I know some of you are like, I just got to set up the premise. I am sort of a preacher, but I love to teach sometimes, okay? So today I want to teach you what these words mean. Gentiles is just a word that they would use that was not Jewish. You weren't a Jew. Or some of the Israelites' heritage, they would call you an outsider. And so chapter 10 of the book of Acts is one of those chapters that are read and kind of interpreted incorrectly because they think about it as unclean food and clean food. But that's not what this book is talking about. We'll turn right into Acts chapter 10, verse 1. In Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, the centurion of a band of soldiers called the Italian Detachment, a devout man, and came who feared God with all his household, who gave alms to all the people and continued to pray to God. About the ninth hour, would you say ninth hour, of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. When he looked at him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? He said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up to me as a memorial before God. Verse 5. Now send men to Joppa and bring back Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. If you have a Bible out and you have those words, I want you to underline. He will tell you, or just these words, these four words, what you must do. Verse 7. When the angel of the Lord spoke to him, he had departed. Cornelius called two of his household servants and devout soldier from among those who were continually waited on him. When he explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetops to pray about the sixth hour. Would someone say sixth hour? He became very hungry and desired to eat. But while they prepared a meal, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a vessel like a great sheet tied at four corners, descending to him and letting down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth and wild beasts and reptiles and birds of the air. Then a voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter said, not at all, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Verse 15, the voice spoke to him a second time, what God has cleansed, do not call common. Today, my title for you is this, the uncommon. The uncommon. I know that you're in a series right now talking about moving mountains. And I was so excited to be here today. I am excited to be here. I received this opportunity not so much to bring you a good word that will tickle your ears, but to bring you a word that will motivate you, encourage you, empower you to move in faith to moving mountains. See, in order for us to move mountains, God needs uncommon people. Uncommon don't care about the ordinary. They go about the flow. Uncommon folks see obstacles as an opportunity. Uncommon folks see the task at hand as more so a promise and passion of their hearts. When we talk about God's call of your life, it's not that God is looking only for the common folk. He's looking for folks who are saying, I need to do something out of the ordinary. So uncommon folks sees evil and they say, not today, devil. Uncommon folks look at their family and say, today is the day that I declare this household will serve you with all the days of their life. See, God is looking for folks who are uncommon. You want to move mountains? You got to be uncommon. God needs some uncommon folks. Our text here in chapter 10 of Acts, verses 1, it talks about a man by the name of Cornelius. He's located in a land called Caesarea. And Caesarea is only mostly populated with Gentiles, as I already expressed to you what a Gentile is considered. They're not a Jew. They are titled outsiders. But Cornelius was a centurion. That title means that he was similar to a captain. Centurion is the Greek word. There is actually a man who had overseen 100 soldiers. Here we go. You ready? So 100 men was under the man, this man's authority, titled as a captain. See, they called it the Italian detachment. If you look this historically, you will find Cornelius' men among the Roman Empire. Because these men were frontline workers. Let's start there. These men were frontline soldiers. So what do you find with frontline soldiers? You find folks who are a little daring. They're calm. See, this is characteristics of these soldiers. They were calm, collective, but you just watch out because they were very scary. They were very intimidating. You know, you got folks that you hang out with, and they always say this. You hear this, people always say this. You know, we got to be careful about those quiet ones. Got to be careful with those quiet ones, right? You know, those quiet ones, they come up right behind. But it's like, whoa, hey, what happened there? That's because you wasn't concerned about them quiet ones. And see here, these soldiers, they were frontline, but they were quiet and collective, meaning they strategized how they would defeat an enemy. And these people, these certain centurions that were found in Caesarea, this was just one platoon that had many of them. These individuals were a bit different. See, common, the word common means just going with the flow, doing what everyone else is doing. That's what the word means. You're just kind of just flowing right on in, routinely, or in a habit. You have this built-up habit in your life, right? I'll see, we'll go get there here. So these individuals, they had a routine, but their routine was always to be uncomfortable. Because when you're in the front line, it's uncomfortable to be the first one to go into battle. Because when you start talking to people, when you start sharing the gospel, it's a bit uncomfortable. Let me come on down here because folks is looking at me like, why he got that jersey on? And at the same time, see, I'm told you I'm from L.A. I got my Chucks on, okay? I have my Chucks on, all right? See, that just shows that I'm from L.A., all right? I don't call them, you know, I used to call them tailors, but, you know, anyway. So that's not my story. But what happens is these individuals in the front line, they had to get a little uncomfortable. They had to get to your face. They had to get right up in your grill. But these individuals, this says in their historical history, when you talk about this Italian detachment, these are the people that were under Cornelius' hand. Watch this. They said that while the army or the fighting got tough, these individuals were willing to die for this man. Here's what I'm saying. God is looking for some uncommon folk that are willing not only to stand in the front line and get a little uncomfortable, but are willing to say, God, you know what? I'm willing to go out and tell people about Jesus, because if this is my last day on this earth, I'm sharing Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants you. Jesus got to have you. Jesus has got to have you. The Lord that's inside of me is greater than those that are outside of this world. And so there's no fear inside of me that says, you know what? I'm willing to die for this. Some of us has got to draw the line in the sand and say, today is not the day, devil. Today is not the day, devil. I'm standing God. I'm standing for the Lord. I'm standing with God. He's my co-laborer. Guess what? There ain't no enemy before me that can stand against me. Because God's looking for uncommon folk. I even got into my text. I'm just talking about this soldiers. I'm just talking about his boys. His homies, Pastor E. The ones who serve him. He's turning it off. I'm sorry. I am sorry. He keeps singing. He's like, you keep turning it off, Pastor. I go, I'm sorry. God bless your soul. God bless your soul. Forgive me, all right? But he's looking for uncommon folk. But we always just, I just want to pause there for a moment in verse 1. God gives it direct, God gives explicit details about the men who served Cornelius. These men, they weren't ordinary. These men, they weren't common. Everything about them was uncommon. Luke makes mention of this so that you would know that the people who serve the Lord have to be uncommon. Because God is not calling us no longer to sit in the backside and be hidden or to be a decorative piece that we call church. Let me explain what that means. You know, you look good this morning. I just want to just say that, all right? You look good. I know you looked at yourself in the mirror and you probably said you look good. There's nothing wrong with a little confidence in your life. My wife calls it conceit over my life, but I say I look good every morning. And this is how I say it to her. I say, listen, if God can make something beautiful like this, man, you can imagine what God do with the children we go. But see, I'm just saying. A little confidence goes a long way, okay? And so what happens is God is trying to instill in us a faith to be able to remind, to remain in him. But you can't be a decorative piece in the church. Or let me rephrase that. You can't be a decorative piece in a building, which we call the church. The church is not a place for us only to come and hide the truth. The church is not a place that we come to hide the power of God. No, the church has been formulated in its foundations of earth only to begin a faith arising, empowering, encouraging, believing people. Church is not an organization, it's an organism. That means it's living. That means it's breathing. That means it's moving. That means it's active in the work of faith inside of us. So we ought to be moving. But so many times we're comfortable becoming the decorative piece in the building. God didn't call you to, yes, he called you to get into a house and be taught and to be disciplined and be brought up in the faith. But he's called you even greater to go out and share his love. We don't hide here. This is not our hiding place. This is not your hiding place. Your hiding place is in God. This is your strengthening place. Like many of you, like me, I'm thankful now that the certain restrictions have been lifted, okay? Because I love the gym. I know it don't look like it, but I love the gym, all right? All right? Some of you are like, what? You love not the gym, okay? Let's pause, okay? Pastor loves the gym, all right? But if we have so much of an adamant to go to a gym to work out our bodies, the church is in similar fashion when we talk about the building we come to praise God collectively. This building is our building and strengthening of our faith. It's not your hiding place. You don't come hide here because you're scared or uncomfortable to sharing out there. Or, let me put it in frame, because you're getting persecuted about being a believer of Jesus, you rather come to the building and say, God, you know you good, but you know that guy I work with, woo, he could get some Jesus, but just I'm not the dude. Send somebody. Talk to that person, God. You know you can talk in mysterious ways. Show up on his computer screen, just like all our spam mail. Show up, oh God. And like the Lord looking at you like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Again, I ain't even got to my text yet. Somebody say, Pastor, help me. Come on. Whew. But these Gentiles were considered the outsiders. And these men were considered outsiders. You know, the outsiders, I love how the book of Acts, Luke gives these descriptions of the way that Cornelius acted. It says in verse 2 that he always gave to alms. And he always prayed continually. The thing about this was, Cornelius was a individual who might have gained some basic conception, meaning kind of like a thought process or kind of an idea of how it looked like serving God. Our text talks about Cornelius having the ability to give to the needy and to pray continually. But the issue about this was that Cornelius, even though being an outsider, he had some sense of common sense of what it looked like to faithfully serve the Lord. Let me help this understanding. Cornelius had an idea of how to serve the Lord. The Bible doesn't say if he's actually a believing believer in the faith, but he had a conception that someone might have told him about Jesus. Or about the faith in God. Because he prayed 3 times a day, just like the Jewish people. And he gave his alms. He didn't just give alms in what we consider alms to the needy. That means he gave to the church. That he also meant that he gave to folks who needed it a lot better than him. Or who needed it more than himself. Because he was a man of prestige. He understood these concepts. But what happens in most cases is we get caught up in doing the routine. As you heard, like most folks who sit in comfortability, they become commonly known as a Christian. And so we have the sensibility of understanding how to read our Bible, Pastor E. We have a sensibility of how to pray. And just like Cornelius, he just knows how to do it because someone told him how. But the problem is with being told is that there's no relationship. It's just a formality. And the Bible I read says that a formality without God in it is powerless. It's powerless. The only reason why I or Pastor E is up here preaching the gospel is not because of formality. Because if we go to talk about formality, church, if we start talking about formality then that means that I don't fit the picture. See, you didn't catch that. Because if we talk about the way it ought to be commonly, there's a pastor that will look a part. Where then you would see me and say, that ain't no pastor. Okay, let me come on down. Let me come back down so we all on the same ground level. Watch. So, people have always told me when I got saved, ain't no way in heck that boy got saved. Because I used to sell dope to these folks who went to church and say, look at your God now. I actually remember the day I got saved. I don't talk about it much. Because I live on with what God is doing inside of me. But I realize there's power in the testimony that God has in you. So watch what happens. August 1st. Well, let me actually take it back. September. That night of September 31st, I had a nice Friday night party with some of the youth boys of the church. My dad was the guest speaker. I told you I came from a good family. I just chose to walk away. So I had me a case of 40. Okay, I'm not glorifying my past. Watch this. I just want you to hear how this ties. I had a case of 40s, and I had about a pound of weed, okay? So I told the boys, hey, let's have a party up in the parking lot. You see me, get me there. If you hear the music, that's where you want to be. You know, just said it like that. So we're having like, I'm telling you, we had blunts upon blunts and 40s upon 40s. All I remember that night, Pastor E, was waking up in a room. Don't remember how I got in the room. Mind you, my dad is at a convention, and he's the guest speaker. And I tagged along because he wanted me to come with him. And his words of promise to me, which I told him, I promise you I won't do, was, son, just for this one weekend, because I'm preaching, and you came with me, and I've asked you to come with me, I just need you to just not be yourself. And I go, well, Dad, how the heck am I supposed to be? Who am I supposed to pretend to be? Because I didn't, if you ever was on the hood, you can't fake it. It's like, who do you want me to be then, Dad? And he goes, just not you today. Okay? It's like, okay, so it won't be me. I didn't listen to any of that. Got drunk, high. All I remember waking up, I think it was about 4:30 in the morning-ish. Okay? And I got up, I'm in the bed, I go, wow, this is a comfortable bed. How did I get in this room? It's dark, and I'm just like, what is going on? And I could hear someone crying next to me. And it just doesn't dawn on me. And then I go to the men's room to fix myself up to get back in bed. And I come back, and I realize I'm in my dad's room, Pastor E. And those words again come out. I asked you one weekend, just one weekend. You know I got to preach tomorrow morning. Just one weekend. And I was like, how did I get in this new room? How am I here? I'm talking about when you're trying to do common things, you just routinely. I see my dad do this routinely. And I thought that's how you people do church. Woke up that morning later, about 10-ish, went downstairs, and my auntie, who was there as well, saw me, came in, does what aunties do best when they see their nephews, slapped me in the backside of my head, and said these words, what in the world were you thinking? Mind you, I don't know what happened. And I go, what you hear me for, auntie? I'm good. I'm just trying to find me some breakfast. Here's what she did to me. She said, you passed out in front of the stinking lobby doors. People couldn't get in or out without walking over your drunken carcass on the front doors. And they had to call the hotel manager to find out whose kid is this. And the hotel manager called the superintendent of the convention. And the superintendent convention came down and said, oh, I know whose son that is. They called my dad, and they knew he's the one who's speaking the Rican. And they're like, it's your son, I'm sorry. They try to keep it in the wraps. No, it was out. It was out, church. It was out. But I'm talking to you guys about formality without power. Because some folks try to fit in a culture without getting the power of God to do the work in you without just dressing you up. Because in 1 Samuel, there's a boy by the name of David who goes out to the battlefield and he hears a giant calling out saying, hey, which one of you want to fight me today? Choose one man. And Saul hears that David stands up and says, I'll go fight that guy over there defying the armies of the Lord, our living God. I'll go beat him up. And Saul looks at this young boy Young man, stand up right there. Yeah, you right there. He looks at him and he says, no, that's a boy. No. So he tells him, why don't you come wear my garment? You wear all of my armor. Would you be able to fit my clothes? No. Would you be comfortable in my clothes? No, absolutely not. But this is what we do in church. We dress people up. Thank you, son. You can sit on down. We dress them up to fit a part. And then we try to send them out to fight in a battle that they're not even equipped for. That day I gave my life to the Lord, not because someone was formally dressed to preach a gospel to this wretched soul. That day I met a living God, a true God, a lover of my soul, the Rose of Sharon. I met the man they call Jesus. And the reason why I don't share about all that so much is because I wasn't drunk in the Lord. I wasn't drunk in all of my alcohol and that weed I was smoking up. No, after I got saved, man, boy, I became even more drunker and higher than I ever felt in my entire life. And you know what? That stuff fades away. With the Lord, it never fades. My heart is excited. My heart desires. My heart longs. My heart goes. It's all of its being after the Lord. Someone say, Pastor, go on. Go move on. Move on. We ain't talking about you. We're talking about the Lord and his word. Because there's some context here when we talk about uncommon folks. We need some uncommon folks, Pastor Jess. Because when uncommon folks stands up, they no longer feel intimidated with the task that's at hand. And at this moment in February, you're called to move mountains. And the only way you can move mountains alongside Victory Outreach Tacoma is you got to be able to stand and be uncommon. Come on, I got to get through this text. I got to get through this text, Lord. Help me, Lord. Let me set my clock here. Now I'm going to finish, okay? I can't be here all day, all right? Cornelius is hearing this. Cornelius is told a word to go and send some men out to Joppa. Joppa is 30 miles away from where they are. That is, if you've ever gone and tried to Google somewhere to go, instead of putting a car, a bus, or Uber, why don't you put down the steps? It'll tell you how far 30 miles is. They usually say it's about 24 hours to 32 hours. That's a long walk. I'm just saying. I told you, your pastor's getting in the gym. That's a long walk, okay? I could barely last 2 miles, okay? And that takes me about an hour, right? Let's just be real. Don't fake the funk. Just be real. 2 hours on a mile. Hallelujah. But they had to go 30 miles to report, to bring back this man by the name of Peter. Simon, who's called Peter as well. We know Simon because he's the one who always, you know, Simon is all throughout the entire New Testament that's always the one who runs his mouth before he thinks. He says some things, it's like, whoa, bro, you got to calm on down with all that, okay? You're not speaking for the rest of us, okay? It's just you, all right? That's Peter. Peter had the audacity to always speak up. When God told him, he speaks. He spoke. He actually was so encouraged that this same mouth that got him into so much trouble is the same mouth in Acts chapter 2 when they were filled with the Holy Ghost. He stood up and started to preach a message that caused 3,000 people to come to the Lord. So God tells him, a messenger tells Cornelius, go send two men, send some men of yours to go grab Peter from Joppa. So he sends him out. After he explains to them his vision and what he heard, the Lord say to him. Mind you, this is a man who doesn't know relationally who he's talking to, but has seen it done in an everyday routine by other people. It's like, I want a little bit of that. I'm gonna explain to you why this is so immersely important for us. Because actually in John chapter 4, In John chapter 4, you hear the story of a widow or a woman who's from Samaria who comes to the well where Jesus is at, and he's thirsty. You mind you, they thought, because it's some sense of a Gentile, and he says, he goes, no, salvation is of the Jews. You don't know what you're believing. Those words make sense when you read Acts chapter 10, because they didn't understand relationally what the concept of faith looks like. Because they thought, no, you guys sacrifice over there on that sort of mountain, but we know that it's here. And Jesus says, no, 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 you worship what you don't know. It's not saying that it's that she was ignorant or dumb. No, it was just that she was built with a routine without a relationship. That's what happens when you build routine out of relationship. You just believe anything. I just flew a lot. Because you like to just pray. We'll just read. Yeah, Pastor said read his word. Pastor said to pray. I'm doing that. But without a relationship, all you have is a routine. So no wonder why you ain't got the power of God. Let's stop there. Let's stop. I got to hurry. I really do. Okay. So Cornelius sends out two folks and he goes to find Peter. All the time, all the while, on their journey, Peter has got to, he is in a time of prayer, and it says there about, I believe it's the ninth hour, okay? And around the ninth hour, okay, Peter is stood up, and he hears the word of the Lord, and he has a vision. And the vision is of this cloth or sheet that was tied at all four corners, and it fell upon him. And on the earth, and when he looked on the sheet, it had all kinds of animals on there. It had livestock, it had reptiles, it even had birds. And in the midst of him seeing this, a voice from the Lord says, now, Peter, kill and eat. See, this is why this text, this certain text, is interpreted a bit off. Because we hear those words and we think unclean and clean food. Because of what Peter states next. Peter says, no, not at all, Lord. For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. We take this text and we try to run with the unclean things. And we miss some here points. Because what Peter is at, what God is actually trying to imply on Peter's life is not about this. It's not about what you think. Because what Peter, what God tells him next, he says, what God has cleansed, do not call common. Here's where we're going to get to it. Here. What God has cleaned, don't you ever call common. Oh, here's how I go to it. Because Peter is of Jewish descent. And he's seeing certain animals that are on the cloth. He says, I can't eat that because of my culture. It's all right. It's all right. I'm going to try, Pastor E. He says, I can't eat that because of my culture. Because in today's culture, I'm sorry, folks, but church has made it a kind of ability that you have to look apart to be a part of the kingdom culture. Oh, you got to wear a button up. See, today, Pastor was going to wear a button up today, okay? To prove my point that I got to look apart. And I was going to wear a button up with some slacks and some dress shoes. And right when I was about to walk out the door, you got to love my wife. Here's her. She goes, baby, it's Jersey Day. Go and change. I said, what? And I said, what did you say to me? She goes, change. Those words I never hear my wife say on a Sunday morning. Because she knows in my life, she dresses me. Hallelujah. Okay, I admit it. All right? I will admit it. All right? And so I heard her say, go and change my clothes. I'm like, lady, you're the one who laid them out. She goes, no, it's Jersey Day at Victory Outreach Tacoma. You go put on your jersey. They go, the Raiders are trash. They're not even in the Super Bowl. Let's just be real, okay? I'm like, I got to wait till next season. I don't want to wear my jersey. This is a shameful jersey. Telling people I'm a Raiders fan and we ain't even in the playoffs. Come on now. Or even the Super Bowl, let alone that. And then I'm like, my wife goes, no. You're going to be obedient. Pastor E says it's Jersey Day. So I went and put on my jersey. Found my chucks. I go, okay, put on my chucks. And I thought, I walked to my wife and let her see what I got on. And I said, well, hey, what do you think, babe? I'm thinking she's going to say, no, 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 not that jersey. I want you to go wear, because we're Lakers fans, so we don't talk football in our house. We talk basketball. We are all Lakers fans in that. So she goes, no, no, I thought she was going to say, not that jersey. I want you to go wear the Kobe Bryant jersey that I got you. And she saw my jersey. She goes, there you go. You look good. I go, what in the world? But this is the culture that we have developed as a church. And I have to sit here and say, I'm sorry. As a head of my own house, as a pastor of my own church, that you thought you had to dress a part to be a part of the kingdom of God, or to be used by God, or to be used and spoke on behalf of God. Let me just set this record straight. No, you don't. The moment you gave your life to the Lord, you became a different kind of culture. That culture ain't of this world. And I don't even know what that culture looks like. I can't even tell you what that culture looks like. But I can express to you how it feels to be in the kingdom of God. So what happens is, Cornelius is trying to send out to this word to Peter. And Peter's hearing God talk to him. And he goes, no! Don't you sit there and criticize what I have cleaned. God has to rearrange his process of thinking. Because when we hear this scripture, we think of food. No, Peter's even this conversation, he's talking about people. God, are you seriously going to send me out to the Gentiles? Out to the outsiders? Because Acts 10 is that pivotal moment in Christendom. In the way that we live out life today. Acts 10 was that turning point. Because the gospel of the kingdom of God was always preached to the people of Jews. Even Jesus said it. Jesus says, listen, the salvation of the Lord is at hand. And she tells even a lady who's from a foreign land, who's just coming to ask Jesus, please, my daughter's sick. And here's Jesus' response that we think is harsh. Jesus says, what is it to me, to you? I'm here for the Israelites. I'm here for the Jews. And watch the persistence of this outsider, because I got to find some uncommon people in this house. Watch her persistence. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from your table. You hear those words and you think, oh, that don't make sense, because you ain't been from the gutter before, okay? You don't know what it's like to just eat the scraps and leftovers of others who's already eaten well and done and felt their full and felt their fill. See, I've eaten my scraps. I know what it's like to sit on a street corner and say, when is my next meal going to come today, Pastor E? When am I going to have this? Or when am I going to have that? And I know what it's like to live in the street or even to live on a park bench and think, how am I going to be warm tonight? How am I going to be warm through this rainy storm? And there the Lord will remind me of this story of this lady who will come up to Jesus and say, my daughter is sick and I need your help. And we hear these words from Jesus and we think this is how it is. No, I come for the Israelites. What he really was saying was, God called me first to reach my people. And we hear that and we think we have been shut out from the gospel of love. But this woman's push. This woman's push. She says, but even the dogs, they eat the crumbs that fall off the table of the master. Because somewhere down the line, folk, you gotta push past what people are putting on you and get those crumbs. I know that's a little deep, okay? I know that's a bit deep. But somewhere down the line, you gotta push past and say, Lord, I gotta get that. Because what happens here is Jesus says, they didn't want my scraps, and so we do. So this woman goes, I'll take it. If they don't want it, I'll take it. If they don't want that love, I'll take it. If they don't want that joy, I'll take it. If they don't want that breakthrough, I'll take it. See, somewhere down the line, we need to be like this woman. I just take that scrap. They don't want it, I'll take it. They don't want it, I'll take that. They don't want that, I'll take that. If they don't want that, I'll take that. Why? Because I know with every living part of my being, I need it. So he tells him, don't you dare ever call what I clean common. Don't you ever dare in your mouth say, this is common. Peter says the words that we quote many times, following later down in the verses in chapter 10. He says that after he goes to see Cornelius, he says, I need to teach you this message. Because I told you, Cornelius only had a routine, but not a relationship. And Peter finally, I didn't read this part, but you read this and you find this in the text. Cornelius hears the message of Jesus Christ. And in hearing the message of Jesus Christ, he says, listen, God is no respecters of person. We quote this scripture so much because we don't understand. I have learned to love words. And the word respect there is not in the sense of prestige. Like, because when you're on the street, you got to be like this. You got to give me my respect. Put some respect on my name. But that's not what the word respect means. That really just means acknowledge me. It doesn't mean honor like many of us think it does. When God says, when the word says, he's not a respecter of person, meaning he doesn't acknowledge Pastor E over Pastor Jess. He doesn't acknowledge Pastor Art over Pastor Watson. No, he sees everyone equally. Oh, you're going to miss that. It's okay. That's all right. It's okay. So he tells him this vision that God showed him in his dream. And God showed him in his time of prayer. See, we had prayer just 2 weeks ago and unplugged. And in unplugged, the Lord started laying this word right out of the gate for me. And he started showing me that there's got to be some uncommon folk here in Tacoma. Because God has this word for you. Because there's going to be a surge of a battle. I know it's Super Bowl Sunday, but there's a greater Super Bowl that happens every day, every second, every moment, but there's got to be some uncommon people. God is looking for some uncommon people that will stand on the corner here on J and 15 and say, the Lord is good and his mercy endures. There's got to be some uncommon folk who go downtown Tacoma and start declaring, God, my Lord, I pray over every corner and every street. There's even got to be some folks who's got to go to Hilltop and they got to say, Lord, you reign here. Oh, that's all right. That's all right, Pastor E. I know some folks, they don't want to get on the street because it's uncomfortable to be uncommon. But see, the Lord has called you to be uncommon. And when you become uncommon, mountains move on your behalf. Mountains move when you are uncommon. But you're wondering why you're calling out that mountain to move in your life and it ain't moved. It's because you've still been common all your life. Doing the ordinary, doing the routine, doing the habit. You know, I'm going to put it out there. Is that okay? Pastor's not talking about y'all. He's talking about Harlem, okay? They just sit in their pew, you know what I mean? They just sit in their church. Ooh, that's a good word, Pastor. Ooh, that's a good song. Oh, hallelujah. They're singing my jam today, and they ain't getting no relationship. They just like that routinely thing. They like that routinely church. You know, because when you talk about routinely church, someone sit in your seat. You're going to be like, ooh, no, she didn't. Oh, no, she didn't. That's my chair. See, because when we talk about uncommon folk, they don't care where they sit as long as they hear the word, as long as they're stirred up, as long as they're moved, they don't really matter because the seat is not where I'm supposed to be. Oh, you ain't heard me. The seat you're sitting ain't supposed to be for you anyways. You're just warming it up for the next person. So you got to be saying, God, whoever it is, Lord, I pray they be blessed and highly favored. I pray they be moved in power. Oh, you amen me. It's all right, Pastor E. We'll celebrate the Lord together. Because so many folks, this is how we do church. This is how we do Jesus. Oh, we only come on because, you know, I don't know if you youngsters ever heard this, but when I grew up, this is what we heard. We heard of the SOS. That's not the Sons of Sodomora, okay? We heard of the SOS. It meant this, saved on Sundays. They only loved Jesus when it was Sunday. They only came to church when it was Sunday. And when Sunday gone past and gone by, it's like, Hey, mama, how you doing? You know what I mean? And it's because they only like to be saved on Sunday. Commonly doing this on a weekend. Oh, you know, Sunday's coming around. Now you're going on Monday, you go to work. And you know you ain't supposed to be living lazy at work. Because the Bible says you do everything excellent as if you were doing it unto the Lord. But then you get a little tired, right? Hold up, folks. You get a little tired even at school. And you're like, well, you know, we're in virtual education. I don't have to have my camera on. I can turn it off, grab me something to eat, go hang out, talk on somebody's phone. And let me FaceTime somebody really quick, and while all of your virtual reality or whatever it is, or some of us is at work and you know you ain't got your boss at work because they're doing their virtual work from home, so you just go, oh, let me surf the net real quick, let me check my Facebook status, let me check my Facebook homies. See, and it's in those moments we're just so commonly living out Jesus on Sunday, so Monday comes up and we try to just do life without Jesus because we got our fix on Sunday. You know what I mean? Oh, okay. Let me slow down. Some folks are like, take a breather, Pastor. Take a breather. Well, I'm trying to help you, okay? The word of the Lord laid a word. And I know I'm still seated. That's because this is how we look. This is how we look in the world. We're just seated in our positions. On Monday, we still just do the routinely things. Tuesday comes along. Oh, we know we got Bible study. Oh, yeah, Bible study's coming up pretty soon. We about to hit up on that Bible study, tell people about Jesus, and then turn off our camera and do whatever we want to do outside of Jesus. Then Thursday comes along. Oh, man, we got that Friday night prayers coming up. Well, let's go read a scripture real quick. I got to read a scripture before I go to service on Friday night. I got to tell Jesus that I at least hear him, and I'm reading his word. And then maybe I can pray. Oh, yeah, let me bless my meals right now. I'm going to bless my meal. Lord, thank you for this food that I got to devour. Oh, Lord, and you know you only ate one item on that plate. And it's like, I'm full. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And you throw the rest away. I don't know why you do this thing. Okay, maybe that's just me. I know some of you saved. Anyways, so Friday comes along. Now it's getting upon the weekend. Oh boy, I know it's COVID, and we're doing this social distancing. Clubs ain't open no more. Bars are semi-open. Okay, and these things, you're hanging out, going to parties. It ain't like it used to be, but it's still some creative way they're still doing it. Why? I don't know why these folk doing it. They're crazy, okay? Saturday, they go out there and just hang out with people. And yo, hey, holler at me. I'm going to be at so and such and such and such at such and such time. Meet me there. And then you get crowds of young people hanging out on a Saturday night. Like, what are you doing? Well, I can't be here too long. This is their line. I can't be here too long. I got church tomorrow morning. All week, you've been living like hell. You've been sitting on your seat all week, and God has given you a word. You got to move mountains. You want things to change in your life, young people. You got to move mountains. But the only way you're going to move mountains is you got to stop doing the routinely things. Oh, and you got to get up off your chair. And you got to begin to walk for the Lord and speak on his behalf and tell people about Jesus. Do I have any Jesus lovers in the house? I said, do I have any Jesus lovers in the house? Would you give a shout of praise? No. Sit on down. I'm looking for some uncommon, unreal, unordinary folks who say today is not the same as yesterday. They believe in a God who's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm looking for some uncommon folk that is saying, God, today is your day.
I mean, they've got to be able to build inside of them to say, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I shall rejoice in it. See, some of you folk probably going through something. Some of you folk has probably been in something, and you're saying, I can't make it anymore, Pastor. But dear God, that is looking for an uncommon response that will say, Lord, I bring my offering to you. Because I serve a God who breaks the bondages, a God who destroys the bondages, a God who mends the marriages, a God who reconciles a son and a daughter to his father and mother. I serve a God who breaks every addiction, who breaks every doubt, who breaks every depression. I serve a great God. Because he's looking for some uncommon folk that say, never again today, devil. Not today, devil. This house will always worship the Lord. Uncommon folk. My question today is, are you uncommon? Are you willing to stand in a world that's built up in a routine? Yes, COVID has now put new limitations on how you ought to live. I got done telling my church, God ain't looking for posers. God is looking for a special possession. And many times, many of us look like, well, what does that mean? Because we like to model our life as an image before God, but not as if he's like in us before the men that we go out to. God has called you as a special possession. So you're uncommon. Well, what makes me uncommon from the world that we go out to? The Bible that I read says this, and it's in your word. It says that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Woo! And my word, I like this word. In this word, it says a unique kind of group. And he says, I handpicked, chose you out of this generation as a special possession for me. The Lord has got a move in this house and in for Tacoma, but he's looking for folks who are willing to say this morning, I don't want to be common. Let me be uncommon. So right now, every person in this room, let's all stand.